the name, image, and likeness movement has hit college sports like a Category 5 force of nature.
No joke.
And the truth is, it will change college sports forever. I mean, it's basically going to destroy amateurism as we know it, and they will be forced to rebuild it in a different way going forward. But it is something that Texas is right now trying to take advantage of and be at the cutting edge of name, image, and likeness, revenue, creativity, and activity and revenue, if you will. So I think right now, based on the two announcements that were made by the Clark Field Collective and the Horns with Heart. The Horns with Heart actually specifically with a program to target offensive linemen, which is no coincidence. Texas only two offensive linemen committed in the 2022 class. And yet this week, right before signing day, it was announced that, hey, every lineman that comes to Texas that signs a scholarship will get at least $50,000, but could get upwards of $150,000,
yeah,
depending on how good you are. So base salary, essentially. But it is connected. I want to live. It is connected to a charitable entity
it
so
is.
That they can use their platform for charitable causes that are close to their hearts. I want to throw that out there. But, yes, it basically is a salary for the guys. $50,000, no, man.
$50,000.
Why the hell did Rafidi Girmay leave? He left. Hold up. They just announced they're going to pay you $50,000.
He wants to go get his grad degree somewhere.
What the?
Because he cares about education.
It wasn't his grad transfer. Why not stay here and work on the grad degree and get paid $50,000 to do it?
Well, that's a better idea.
What?
And I mean, not play. You know you're not going to play.
I
couldn't play for this team.
I don't want to knock
the young
man.
I think he also wants to play. He's put that in his tweet, too.
You've been here 4 years.
You're preaching to the choir, brother.
13 games, man. I mean, I know you want to play. I get it, bro. Trust me. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. I was a jabroni in the league. I wanted to play, but you know, hey, get that cash. Collect them checks right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
$50,000. What if you go into the transfer portal and you play one more year for, I don't know, where is it going to go? New Mexico State. Okay, wherever.
That'd
it is.
Be the type of spot. Yeah.
Okay. They're not going to pay you 50 G's.
No.
Come on, man.
No, I mean, I'm probably going to pay you $500.
You should have stayed here and just collected that nice check and tried to get another year.
Right.
Try to get to 100.
Which is also one of the problems that Texas and these schools are going to have, Rod, is that if you do have someone who's there, you're going to have those real hard conversations about, hey, you know, we noticed that limp. We think it's time to medically retire or get the hell out of here.
Because
you're making 150 and you're playing like you should be making 200.
It's not connected to the university, though. Like they technically, this is the separation of church and state. Like this, these name, image, and likeness deals.
Right, which isn't always separated. So that's kind of what I'm thinking with this.
That's what I said. Though,
ideally, you set it up right. No.
Yes, trust me, you're correct. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying the intention. And the road to hell is paved.
Yeah, with a lot of good
with a lot
ones.
Of that. But that the intention is that they are separate, you know, and that basically through compliance is how they kind of meet up. Compliance is the one in the middle, the intermediary that is making sure that everybody operates within the name, image, and likeness law, which is a state law now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, I agree with you. That's there will be a lot of pressure for a guy making 150 G's and he's underperforming. And it's like, can we get this? Can we get another guy in here? I can do the job.
When I first started doing radio, I understood why some players should be paid, but I figured with Title IX that they were going to have to pay everyone the same, and that it was just fiscally impossible to get this done. Now, this was, I'm talking 15, 20 years ago, right?
Yes.
And there were people that would call and say, oh, you know, it's not fair, which I understood that, but when I said that it's going to create, and I think a lot of people understood this and felt this way, it was going to create a slippery slope, and that it was going to be too hard to police. And some people said, no, that's not the case. If you were one of those people, you were wrong, and we knew that at the time. Now, if you say
some people said it wouldn't be a Pandora's box,
or that we were over exaggerating that it wouldn't turn into this, that there would be ways to police it. And it's turned into this pretty quickly. Yeah. That was also a decade ago. As I've been doing this and trying to evolve, I've just thought, you know what? It's too ridiculous right now. I also didn't want college football to go down the path of college basketball, where college basketball turns into what it did because they're like, look, This is unfair. You should be paying these guys. And if they can go make money, they're going to go make money. And it's created a problem for college basketball, right? Yeah. It's still a good, it's still a fun product, but it's nowhere near the product it was. NFL's a little different because not all these guys can go play right away in the NFL. They can't in the NBA either, but they can't go play in the NFL. There is no minor league team, so the minor league system is college football. Getting ahead of that, Rod, yep. I like. And I also think, just looking at it morally, these guys are making so much money, they should be bringing in a ton of money. But this is opening up where we talk about competitive advantage, and I get on college baseball all the time where you've got private schools that have 27 scholarships and state yep. schools that only had 11.7. Look, I'm not about equity. I'm about equality. And, right, yeah. give a fair playing field, and let's see where the chips fall. That's where hard work and good coaching and obviously a lot of talent will come into play. But the a lot of talent part is completely different. It's also why I've bitched about the SEC for a long time, because I know what they were doing under the table, and it's not talked about a lot. So at least we're getting this above board. It's been going on forever to some degree.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And people are some people are upset. You know, Darren Rivera wrote a piece that and mentioned Texas in the piece that essentially the
I like horns, your response to that.
The horns with heart. Yeah, I mean the horns with heart pancake factory initiative essentially is a legal slush fund.
He's not totally wrong.
Something to that regard. Yeah, I mean I heard Jeff Ward on with Trey and Chad on Shirts and Skins, and he said something very similar. And it I'm not disagreeing with their description of it, but it's not like it is something that's against the rules or no. something that is, since it's state's law, is now illegal. You know, my and to the point that you brought up, right, that you knew the slippery slope into Pandora's box. And I put out a quote from Eric Hoffer earlier today from The Temper of Our Time. Every great cause begins as a movement, becomes a business, and eventually degenerates into a racket. That essentially is the nature of capitalism. I mean, it say what right. you want, but it is.
Yeah.
But we're going to make money on everything. I mean,
we're going to monetize it, man.
It's just the way it is.
But what do I always say about movements? And you know, I've been into movements for a long time.
This is a movement. This has been a movement. The movement
always
was,
have an end date.
exactly right. But there is no end date.
Or, this is when we've succeeded and we're done.
Yeah. And you know, for the movement for I think against the NCAA was to expose the NCAA basically for exploiting what they student athletes for cheap labor under the veil of amateurism. Right. That was everybody wanted to expose that. Ed O'Bannon recently. What was the Alston case? Mm-hmm. Versus the NCAA Supreme Court. So now I think that is now the celebration that is happening is that now, yes, the NCAA is exposed. And these essentially are reparations for that that the kids are getting now through boosters and donors using NIL to just infuse money into the market.
Reparations would be if you got money.
Players back in the day.
These guys are now getting it. It's just good timing.
The EA Sports thing they got, right?
They got reparations on that.
All the way back
yeah.
to 2003. I missed out because I graduated in 2002.
Dude, your timing,
just
you've got
barely.
Screwed on all
oh,
this.
Terrible timing.
No, so, Patrick, he's not kidding.
No,
they
I
went
know,
back
I know.
To 2003.
Yeah, 2003, literally, and I graduated in 2002. So everybody who basically played college football 2003 and since got a check from EA Sports. But all of us old. I was too old. Basically, I was too old.
You're too old.
Too old. But no, but and we see this, though, right? We see this when there is, when you have this, right, this essentially this prohibition, if you will, basically, of any commodity or any service, whether it be alcohol, whether it be marijuana, all right? Now you're talking about legalized gambling. As soon as that prohibition is lifted in some way, there is just an infusion of cash, mm-hmm. a ton of it. Most of it was already out there. It was just under the table.
Just like prohibition.
And now it just comes on the table. Right. But And just as we've talked about, just because it's now over the table, hey, they're still selling illegal weed in Colorado yeah, where it's legal.
Right.
All right, it's still happening, and it's still gonna happen. And
there are still probably speakeasies.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah. So my thing is, you can expect it. It was inevitable. It was gonna happen. This is the NCAA's fault because if they would have acted in a responsible manner and done their damn job, this would have been a slow. Progression,
or you could
right?
have had guardrails,
or they put piecemeal, right? You
would have been state to state
oversight of it, yes, and there'd have been more unanimity in the rules and the laws, and you wouldn't have the schools essentially writing their own laws.
Yep.
That's what happened. Essentially, the school, the top two schools in every state, you want to know what happened? They wrote the NIL laws.
Except for Alabama.
Well, because they already had one?
No, because their state is so strict with their legislation. So they wouldn't let the Crimson Tide come in. I'm kidding. I mean, Alabama and Auburn that was the only question. Yeah. If those two could agree, let's go rob banks.
Yeah.
Different banks, and we hate each other. If we see each other, we're going to kill each other. But let's allow ourselves to rob banks.
Exactly, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, that's just kind of how legislation works at times, right? So I think
it's like two animals feeding together or feeding in the same area but would kill each other if they cross each other's paths.
But like you said, that's the NCAA's fault, man.
Because
if they would have done this the right way, there could have been oversight. There could have been guardrails, protections put in place, checks and balances against all of these fraudulent, corruptive activities. But because they didn't, now it's the Wild Wild West. And by the way, the NCAA wants I had a friend who's close to the NCAA and said, this is what they want because
I told you so.
They want, that's essentially,
what they want.
Yes.
That's
they
what
want,
they want.
Basically, they want to be like,
I told you
they
so.
They want this thing to get as wild as possible.
Which is nothing better than someone watching a house burn and saying, I told you
that's
so.
That's basically
can
what
we do
they
this
want
after
to happen.
The fact?
Yeah. And essentially, it's gonna get really wild, creative, because capitalism works that way. And at one point, Uncle Sam's going to step in and go, all right, let's get a federal legislation of name, image. And like I said, everybody's got to adhere to because there's a lot of money that's just exchanging hands. And we don't really know where it's going, and I want my piece.
So you know celebrities when they put on golf tournaments? And a lot of times it's good stuff, right? I mean, you can have winners on all sides.
Yep.
They use the 501 C3, right. And so they do that. Because it makes it a little bit more affordable for them, and there are some corners they can cut, but it still goes for charity, right? It still goes to charity. So this has been used by people with money for a long time to maybe set things up that are also beneficial for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally
agree. I just love the fact that the NCAA still thinks that people are going to be on their side when it all goes crazy. Thinking like, oh, once they do this, they'll want us to keep all the money again.
No,
like, no,
won't.
NCAA.
Yeah.
No.
You screwed up. You could have fixed it the way it would have been still beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've just opened up to where everyone's like, yeah, screw you guys too. We never liked you.
Yeah.
But we don't like this either, but we like them more than you.
Yes,
exactly.
We
right.
realize we need security.
They're not going to get any power back.
No, because they want it. You can tell. We all saw that they want it to happen. But I don't think the end result is what they think the end result's going to be.
Oh, I totally agree. And that's usually the case with them.
You.
Yeah, it's like, look, we need to hire new security. Well, we were your old security guard. We told you. It's like, we're not hiring you.
Yeah, no.
Just because we know we need to go in a different direction doesn't mean we're going to go back to the NCAA. You guys are exactly right. They set this up to be where it is. And so I kind of gave you at least my movement in this as life has gone on. I'm like, yeah, we got to find a way to do it. This was probably not the way to do it. It was just too wide open.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious kind of where it goes from here. But you want to talk about competitive advantage. And this is, guys, this is different. Now, I will also say don't be naive and don't be a rube and not think that certain programs have been doing this and more under the table with no Uncle Sam.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no,
it's not like this is completely new in terms of building rosters.
Yeah, and I know Texas is in, you know, they're right now on the cutting edge of name, image, and likeness with some of the programs that, you know, the boosters and the donors are setting up, because that's what's happening. It's the boosters and the donors kind of setting this up. The University of Texas can't. They're probably being encouraged to, hint, hint, by the university to set this stuff up. But Horns with Heart and the Clarkfield Collective, they work as kind of a separate arm of the university. But everybody now is going to start setting those models up. I mean, it's going to be a copycat league for the most part. Every big time university is going to have that arm of basically boosters and donors working with these kind of shell companies, really shell corporations, shell organizations set up essentially to funnel money to the team and to the roster somehow. Yes, it could have a charitable arm. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, of course, they're just kind of shell companies.
Yeah, shell company. You get a couple breaks in terms of what you're actually spending if you're creating that with the 501c3. So there are some reasons why it's set up the way it is. But right now it is above board. It is legal. The reaction, not only the Darren Rovells, it does seem to be there's a lot of people and a lot of purists, but even people that I wouldn't even consider purist, people that have just thought, man, this has gone too far. I wanted to pay the players. I didn't think it was going to turn into this, though. Where are you on this?
I mean, it's of course. I mean, I totally agree. People say they didn't want it to turn into this. I thought this was inevitable. I thought this was exactly.
Well, once they did it, it was
going to
happen.
Yeah, I thought this was exactly the way it was going to go because the NCAA, they failed. And they were derelict, essentially, in their duties. They decided to. This is arguably one of the biggest decisions and the biggest movements, if you will, for name, image, and likeness that's happened to them in the last, 50, 60 years. And they decided to go,
What?
Yeah, hands off. We're out. We're out on name, image, and likeness. You guys decide it for yourselves. Whatever you want to do is fine. State to state, you guys decide. And it's like, so what is your purpose then, NCAA?
Right.
So because when they failed on that, I knew Wild Wild West is coming. So in terms of what I think about it, I knew it was coming. And I'm not saying I like it. It needs guardrails. It definitely needs some oversight. But Uncle Sam has got bigger fish to fry. So we're not going to get that until Uncle Sam decides to go, all right, you know what? I'm going to address name, image, and likeness. We got federal legislation on this damn thing, and we're going to write up a law.
Or Congress.
Congress is going to write up
Congress.
That's what I mean by Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
I mean, for those who don't get it. Sorry.
Yeah.
No,
because the IRS could be involved, too.
I'm just saying federal legislation is going to be needed, and you don't really have that right now. And that's not going to happen for a while. I don't think Congress cares really about name, image, and likeness right now.
No.
Way too much other stuff happening.
They've got other stuff going on, and it's probably not going to be at the top.
And the states don't want it. Because
the states want
their university to actually take advantage of these very lax rules that were essentially written by the universities themselves. They don't want this stuff to happen.
I'm usually state-to-state guy, and I'm for that, you know, to some degree. And states maybe having different legislation and essentially different takes on things. You can move to that state. You can move out of that state. With this, there needs to be some uniformed rule and as you said, guardrails set up for this, and that's not the case right now. Mm-hmm. And look, Texas is benefiting. I mean, I'll get into it a little bit in one and done. I knew this would be a fun conversation because it's a big conversation, and we pull back the lens a little bit. But I'm curious with you, just as a college football player, how much of this is jealousy, Rod, and how much of this is you just want to get it right?
Mm.
I'm kidding. You texted that this morning.
I'm not mad about this at all. Like I think it's great. Yeah, but I am jealous because I wish it had been me getting straight cash, homie, through name, image, and likeness. Because I was good enough, I'd have got some change. I don't know how much, but I got a little chunk of change. But no, I'm happy for the guys. It's good, man. It's good. It's something that needed to happen. But like I said, I wish the NCAA would have acted more progressively. If they would have, we wouldn't be here. And now, there is really, I don't know if there is any in the foreseeable future of the type of, I don't say corruption, but the type of a creative name, image, and likeness.
Creative maneuvers.
See. Yeah, creative manipulation.
That's
of name,
a good
image,
way to
and
put
likeness,
it.
Right? So I don't know if you're going to see that stop anytime soon. And Texas, by the way, is as good as anybody in that creative manipulation of
Patrick,
name, image, and likeness.
I was worried. We talked about it on this show. I was worried that Texas was going to be too late to the party and not go heavy enough. You can maybe argue they're late to the party, although the party's just getting going. They're not coming in light, though, with these two. I mean, these are game changers. And I've talked to people nationally that have kind of looked at me and said, well, what happened to Texas ethics? Well, it's ethical if it's above board, right?
Yeah. Hey, we weren't cheating before, you know.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, unquote. We weren't cheating.
Not at the level of some of the schools.
No. And I'll tell you, I think we'll get the federal rule when the Pac-12 starts to put more money into it and the Northeast, like the Big Ten and all those places, than the SEC.
That's a good point.
And then we'll hear the representative from Alabama has put forth a bill that we need to regulate this now because these bigger cities are starting to get too much money put into this. And then the South will come in and go, hey, whoa, California can't be getting more money than us.
Right.
So we need to level this out somewhere.
Yeah, Lincoln
but I think
Raleigh.
That'll do. But
yeah.
Texas right now has the best of all the worlds because we have the old school Southern people that are going to put money into it. And we have all the tech people moving here that are going to put money into it. So Texas right now feels pretty good.
Yeah. Look, there were Texas donors that had serious money. They've been wanting to do this for a long time, but they weren't going to go over the top. As Texas cheated and paid people, of course they have. But just from my knowledge and talking to coaches that have been all over the country, that it's not at the flagrant level or at least hasn't been for majority of the time as some of those other schools. This allowed the alums just to put it out there, Rod.
Yeah, it's an arms race now, and now the alums, they can flex their muscle. This is essentially what the boosters and the donors have wanted the entire time for the last 100 years. Like, this is what they wanted. All they got to do is just be creative in the way they manipulate the name, image, and likeness law, and you can use as much money as you want to be able to support your team. So in Texas, as Patrick mentioned, I mean, they could, Austin, Texas, the University of Texas at Austin could be the name, image, and likeness capital of college sports. It has that kind of potential, along with places like, you know, USC and Miami, places like that.
You know who could, and, but I don't know if they're going to do it.
It's like, places like that.
Who's got national alums in every state with and a lot of money?
Talk about Notre Dame there?
Yes, but yeah, I'm not sure Notre Dame is going to go to this level. I hope they do.
That's a great point.
While they can, too, because that's the other thing. At some point, and it's probably going to be, like Patrick said, someone's going to get their ass kicked, or too many teams are going to get their ass kicked by too few teams, and we'll get back to the parity discussion, which I brought up every time we talk about the lack of parity in college football. We got some this year. I think some of that is cyclical with quarterbacks that – a lot of that's underground money. Mm-hmm. So now this is just above board money. Yeah. It's still going to be the same result, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's still going to end up being the same. But yeah, I think when you go, it's above board, you're going to get a lot more of the high-scale donors as opposed to the guys. Like, you know, in the government, there was always the Koch brothers, and no one ever saw them or did they, but they donate all this stuff. That was all the people that were donating to the, you know, the under the table money.
Right.
But now you can go ahead and get all the ex players and everybody else who goes, oh no, now I get my name in the paper because I'm doing this. Oh, I get publicity. Oh, my company can be part of this. Oh, we're getting free advertising now. That's the way they do it.
Yeah.
I think that'll grow it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.